Well, that, I'm going to show you tonight that that doesn't make sense. Because is Jesus literally in your heart? Where's Jesus? At the right hand of the Father, right? So how does that, how does the mind of Christ and the communication with Christ happen? By Holy Spirit. Is the Father really living inside of you? Now, where's the Father at? He's on the throne. It's not literally. So there's a way how God communicates. How does God, we learn that. Where did we learn that when we first started the study? We learned how God, how does he interact with nature? How does he do all those things? By his Spirit. By his Spirit. Same thing that's happened with us. So there's one of the things we'll look at is the paraclete. It's how it's described if we look at the Greek term. So we'll look at that tonight and see how far we can get. But let's get started. The Spirit in John. In the first portion of the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit is spoken of as something descending from heaven to remain upon Jesus. In the beginning, the first portion, that's in John 1, 32 and 33. It says this, and John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So there was something that was a sign to John, because John said, I did not recognize him. So there was a sign to John. What was that sign? That how John would know that it would be Jesus. Because the Spirit would descend on him and remain on him. So the Spirit would descend and remained on him. So that's this is what John opens up to tell us. So we know we have that information. Now, we'll go through and I'm going to give just phrases of statements and we're going to look at them at reverse of Scripture. So as we looked at this part in John 1, 32 and 33, as the means by which one is born again. So we're talking about Holy Spirit. As a means by which one is born again. Now, this is what John says about it in his writings, John 3, 5. Well, let me just stop there and talk about this for a moment. We have the Gospels. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the Synoptic Gospels is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're Synoptic Gospels because they have similarities and basically talk about the same stories. But John's gospel does not follow the synoptic pattern. How many of you notice that when you read John? It does not follow the because in Matthew it talks about Jesus' birth. It talks about all those things. In Mark, and all those things, it talks about his ministry, his start, his how he picked. But in John's gospel is different. So it's not a synoptic gospel, but it's the gospel nonetheless. Okay? That's why you hear people talk about the four gospels. In the New Testament. So here again, as a means by which one is born again, John speaks about this in his writings in John 3, 5, says, Jesus answered, he says, and this, again, this goes along with the words of Jesus. So it's a quote from Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And this was his conversation with Nicodemus at night, one of the scribes there. He was one of the teachers. He was explaining this to him. So when I make the statement, as the means by which one is born again, one has to be born of water and Spirit. And that's what we went over that already as far as our teaching goes. As an enablement for Christ to speak the words of God. How many of you know that? You can have an enablement by the Spirit to speak the things that God wants you to speak. And you got to recognize that's an enablement to give the glory and honor to the Lord for giving that enablement. So the Spirit is as an enablement for Christ to speak the words of God. John 3:34 says this, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For he gives the Spirit without measure." Notice that. He gives the Spirit without measure. So Jesus, by his own admission, this is what he said. He said, "They are not my words." That's what Jesus said when he speaks, that these are not my words. Well, whose words were they? Were the words of the Father that was given to him by the Spirit of the Father, which is Holy Spirit. How many understand that? So when I talk about the Spirit of God, I'm talking about Holy Spirit. Same thing. So, and that's important. Because see, later on we're going to get into what they, when John in Revelations, he saw seven spirits of God. Right? Now, when we talk about Holy Spirit, when most people talk about Holy Spirit, they think of Holy Spirit as the person, as a person who is one, but part of a group. Group meaning Father and Son, right? Most people in the world think that. One of my questions is, if that's the case, how do we deal with the seven spirits of God? Where do they count at? You understand? Because see, once you start counting and use that mindset of how you interpret Scripture, you got to keep that same. You can't change like in the middle of the game. You say, "Well, we're going to now the rules change because that verse won't fit with the first rules I had. So I'm going to change my rules so I can get this." But once I change my rules, the verse I just applied don't fit. You see the confusion? And that's not how God wrote the Bible. The Bible wasn't written that way. It wasn't given for it to create that. So I think we have to stay with the same rules of engagement once we start this. As an enablement for Christ to speak. So we looked at that one. Here's another one. As a way in which one worships the Father. As we're talking about Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. Can you worship the Father without the Holy Spirit? But you can't. Because he's the enabler. Can I speak the words of God without the Holy Spirit? No. Now, I can say some things that I heard somebody else say. I can even open the Bible and read from the Bible. That don't mean I'm speaking the words of God. I understand that. Because Holy Spirit, the self-same hour, that's what he said, when you go out, take no script. For the self-same hour, the Spirit will give you the words that you need to say. And so that's important. What about prophecy? Prophecy, when one prophesied, it was in their mind. They weren't prophesying what they thought in their mind. They prophesied as the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they began to prophesy. We've seen that all through the Old Testament, they prophesied. Remember when Moses, the anointing, and the people, they went on them and they started prophesying? And they said, "Why don't you stop the people from prophesying?" He said, "Well, let them go. Let them prophesy. They're not saying words that they want to say. It's the Spirit of the Lord." And so, in this way, as a way by which one worships the Father, John 4:23 says, "But an hour is coming, and now is." Now, who's speaking here? Who's the speaker? Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. He said, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper." So, their worshipers up to this point. And they worship by their own understanding and what they knew. But he said there's going to come a time, and when is that time? Now is. So we're not waiting for that time. This happened a long time ago, this event. So it says now is when true worshipers will worship the Father. Who are we to worship? The Father. How are we to worship him? In spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. He's seeking people to be his worshipers. How many want to be a worshiper of the Father? Well, you do that by his Spirit. By his Spirit. Because how can there be an interaction with the Father, who we don't know anything about outside of his Spirit, giving us the understanding? We have no clue about the Father outside of his Spirit giving us the understanding, because he's the one opens our understanding to the Father. It reveals the truth. He said he reveals truth to us. And that's important for us to understand. So we're to worship the Father And we only can worship the Father in spirit, in truth. And that's important to understand. That's why we got to yield to the Spirit. And you can. You yield to, listen, we yield to all sorts of things all during the day. We give our time to all sorts of things all during the day. Well, just listen, you can be busy and still yield to the Spirit. I'm a busy person. When I get up in the morning, I'm busy. The first thing I yield to is Holy Spirit. I begin to thank the Lord. I got up. I thank you, Father. Thank you for a good day. Thank you for protecting me. I thank you for keeping my encounters in the way you want those encounters to be. So I'm going down. I'm busy. I'm driving down. I'm still thinking about it. I might be singing. I might be praying in spirit. I'm riding in a boat and it's dark and I might be praying. Whatever you're doing, maybe you're getting up and going to work. You're having your coffee, whatever it is. You got to have that time. You yield to the Spirit. If you're going throughout the day and you don't have that time, because there's some activities that's very difficult for you to yield to the Spirit. How many know that? There's some activities that consume everything that you'll need to function in a different level. And there's some activities that's not. You can be busy doing something, but still keep your mind on the Lord. But some activities, you can't do that. And it's designed that way. How many of you know it's designed out of? How many of you know that television is designed to take everything, your whole attention? How many of you know that computers are designed to take your whole attention? How many understand that? It's a design that you can't use any other part. You're not going to be praying or giving God glory because your complete focus is taken by these activities. That's why you can't overly do those things. How many understand that? Because then you have no time. Then you go back and add up the time that you was able to be a worshiper of the Lord, and then it's not there. So I do it on Sunday. Well, that's not enough. Remember we talking about hunger and thirsting on Sunday morning? How many like to eat every day? Your spirit man needs to have that same nutrition every day, and that's what we've been talking about. So there are some activities that we have to limit. We have to limit ourselves in those activities. Spirit as essential nature of God, as the essential nature of God. John 4:24 said, God is spirit. God is spirit. That's clear. This is not something we got to define here. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. God is spirit. So there's an element of God that is very difficult for us to grab hold to because we're material. We are material. And we're made from material. But God is spirit. Yet God chooses to communicate with us by his spirit. And sometimes that's hard to get our mind wrapped around. But that's how he interacts with us. So when I say that I've had a moment with the Father, that doesn't mean that God comes and exposes his entire being, spirit being, to me. I couldn't handle that. You say, well, how do we know that? Because Moses said, show me your glory. That's what he wanted. Now, you got to understand Moses' position in God. He had already been 40 days fasting and praying away from everybody. How many think you would get closer to God if you did that? I can tell the difference in when I do it for 2-3 days. I can tell how much stronger I get in the Lord. He was 40 days. And then he says, show me your glory. So he was where he needed to be, but he still wasn't in a position to see the glory of God and live. You understand? So God has to have a way to interact with humanity. How does he do that? By his spirit. So I know sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our mind around how God is spirit and he communicates to us by his spirit. You see? So he is spirit but communicates by his spirit. Can I say a portion of God who knows God more than anybody else who can communicate and relay from God what God wants you to know. That's the Spirit of God. And that's important for us to understand. God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit. That's the only way that one can communicate with God. The natural man knows nothing of God. That's what Paul said. Paul said the natural man can't understand the spiritual aspects. Cannot. That's why we have to be born again. We're born again, what happens? We become alive now, electrified, because now Christ, and we're going to get into some stuff that appears to be contradictory because of how John puts it, but we're going to look at it, and that's what we call a Bible study for. I'm giving you this information for you to go back and look up this stuff, but we'll get into this in just a little bit. Spirit as a life giver. The Spirit is a life giver. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. Notice that. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The word that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. Notice that. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So what do we need inside of us? How do we stay motivated to live for God? How do we stay happy for God? How do we keep ourselves in line with God? How do we not go off into doing the things we used to do? It's the Spirit that gives life. We have to recognize that. Because the moment you start trying to do it, you're going to wind up where you wound up the first time you did it. I mean, you know, if you've done it the first time and failed, no matter how many times you do it, you fail. I mean, understand that. That's what the end result. The way that seems right to man is death. You know, it don't get you nowhere. You can do it 100 times. You still end up in the same spot. What do? You let the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. You let the Spirit do it. That's what you've been. That's what you was born again for. Now you can. Now we can have a relationship with the Father by the Spirit. How many understand that? So what we do? There's a process. We accept what Christ did in our life. We accept that. We know that Christ was the one. And what did Jesus do? Did he have to do this? Well, of course he did. Jesus had to do the same thing by the Spirit. And so he done this, what he did, he wants us to do. So it is the Spirit who gives life. Remember that. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and life. So the words that's being spoken are spirit and life. And so keep those things in mind because they're important to us. Spirit and as something to be received by the disciples. Now, this is a key verse, and it'll get us into some things that appears to be contradicting itself, but let's look at it. John 7:39, a very famous passage, says this, but this he spoke of the Spirit. But this he spoke of the Spirit. Now, this verse, of course, before this verse, we have something that goes like this. He says, if you. So that goes to anybody in here, you're saved. You know about Jesus Christ. I can't explain no more about Jesus than I've already have. You've been in church for a long time. You know Jesus died. You believe he's the Son of God. And you believe that he rose again. He's at the right hand of the Father. You believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father. Okay, you got that settled. Now, it says this. If you, talking about those who believe. If you believe as the Scripture said, out of your belly. One translation says belly, but another translation says out of your innermost being, out of the womb or the birthplace, shall flow rivers of living water. That's the verse. Then it goes into this verse. It says, but this he spoke of the Spirit. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given. Now, that right there is what threw so many people off in the New Testament church. That right there was not yet given. Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Okay? They said, well, if that's the case, then the Spirit that we've been talking about in the Old Testament is different from the Spirit in the book of Acts. That's where the people get that from. That teaching and that theology, so many people believe that Acts chapter 2 was the first time the Holy Spirit was given. So what do we do with all the other verses that talks about the Spirit of God? What do we do with them verses? They don't count. And that's what people do. They say, oh, well, we'll pick it up right here in Acts 2. We're just going to pick it up. Well, you lose sight of all the wonderful aspects of the Spirit of God that we talked about already. I want to submit to you that we're talking about the same Spirit, but it's a different caliber. Because now we have a glorified Son of God who paid the price in full to let the Holy Spirit come and do the job that it needs to do in our life to give us the same access to God that Jesus had. Does that help you now? See, nobody had access to God like Jesus had. Now, Moses come close. But he said, show me your glory. He said, well, I can't do that. No man can see my face and live, but I'll put you in the cliff of a rock. When I pass by, you'll see my hand where I pass. Now, all throughout Scripture, God is described as having parts, body parts, right? Yet God is a spirit. I just read that to you. So it appears, okay, if he's a spirit, then how does he have a body parts? Because his God's way of interacting with humankind could come at whatever God desires it to be. You know, after all, when you're God, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. So let's look at this a little bit deeper, dealing with this subject that we just brought up. It is clear from these examples that the essential character and functionality of God's Spirit has not changed, simply put. It has not. He's done the same thing in the Old Testament as he's doing now. What we do have, this one thing is what is going to be described as the Paraclete. And we'll look at that a little bit further because that's the Acts 2 account. Let's look at it. However, the claim that is made by John 7:39 seems to contradict everything we have discovered. But this he spoke of the Spirit which those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given. Let me see that. Were to receive, not yet given. Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Is everybody picking that up? Were to receive, not yet given. So that tells me that it wasn't available to anyone. Who did it come on visibly and was seen by John? Who did it come on? Talking about Holy Spirit. Who did it come on and was visibly seen by John? Jesus. He said, the one you see the Spirit descend on and remain on, that's the one. John testifies to that. He gives his testimony about it. He said, I saw it. He said, I knew. He's it. That's the one. So that we have that happen. So you can see that now we're as time is going on and God's plan and purpose for humanity and the kingdom of God approaching is where we are. And look at the time period of everything. As it gets closer, we are seeing God starting his process of pushing closer to humanity through his only begotten Son. Because he knew once Jesus is born and going to pay the price in full, he's showing what's going to happen. So ahead of schedule, from the human side of our receiving, we had someone come. Just like Jesus had a forerunner, he's our forerunner. Amen? Jesus had a forerunner. His name was John. There's one who come. He's going to come before Jesus. He was the forerunner. It's what he was known as. Jesus comes as our forerunner. He comes. Holy Spirit is put on him, and he receives Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit into the wilderness, led from the wilderness, done all these wonderful things. Everything he did, here's the thing. Jesus is going to get ready to heal somebody. How do you think he's going to move in that direction for healing that person? Let's just throw this out there. How many of you know there was a lot of sick people in the world when Jesus was here. And not everybody was healed. But the ones that were healed, he was led to those individuals by Holy Spirit. How many understand that? There's a lot of things that you're responsible for. As a person who's a believer, you're responsible for a certain amount of things in any given day. You're only going to accomplish those things if you're led by Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You won't accomplish them otherwise, because you're going to get overly consumed with other things and you won't accomplish those things. You just won't. You can. God wants us to. But we won't. And I've done it many times. Many times. I was like, you know what? I could have done a lot better today. And the reason I didn't do a lot better, I was overly consumed with other stuff, entertaining myself with other things, instead of being led by Holy Spirit. Who knows who I missed or what I did? That's why we have to constantly go before the Lord in a repentive heart and making sure that, God, did I miss? If I don't, I probably missed something today. If you don't do it by habit and continually do that, which is a good practice, you'll soon lose sight of that and think, whatever I did, so be it. You got to take that up with God, right? I don't want to do that. I don't want to go before God and he says, well, you know, on Thursday I had it lined up for this, this, and this, and on Friday this, and Saturday this, and Sunday this, and you didn't do any of them. Why, God? Because you won't listen. Who I got to listen to? Holy Spirit. You see? So what is Holy Spirit going to do? It's going to come and say, get up, Jesse, and go pray. No, it's that little. You ever been about to do something and you got that just a little slightest nudge that says, nah, that wasn't you. And it sure wasn't the devil telling you don't do wrong. You get it? It wasn't the devil telling you don't do wrong, because he's over there, do it, do it, do it. But that little, And the more you practice, the more you get used of it, and then every day you're going to be led by the Spirit. It's just a flow, and it becomes a part of you, part of you. And that's how Christ is in us. That's how he's in us. Literally? No. Where is he at? Right hand of the Father. And people say, well, I saw Jesus do it. Everybody wants that. They got all these little things going on. I mean, they got the bleeding wafer in the cup, a communion cup. Everybody wants something. You know, they wanted to just be this wow, and we got that every single day with Holy Spirit if we'll just embrace what God has done for us. You don't need a band, you don't need an audience, you don't need nobody, but you just you all by yourself with Holy Spirit, you can instantly know that God the Father and Jesus, his only begotten unique Son, is right there with you. And every angel in heaven is standing at attention, waiting for the Father to give a command. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heir of salvation? Every one of them standing just like that. So when there's something going on in Jack, whatever, every angel in heaven is standing like that, ready for the command. Because are they not all ministering spirits? How many understand that? It's a powerful verse. Sent forth to minister to those who shall be heir of salvation. So angels can be sent forth on our behalf. We don't even know it, but we should recognize it through Scripture that they're sent forth on our behalf, right? But this can be a constant thing. It can be a continual thing, but we have to embrace it and we have to practice it, just like you do anything else. How many have seen yourself get good at something? When you first done something, you weren't that good at it, but when you kept doing it, you got used to it, you got better at it, you got more confident, and then as your confidence got, you built more confidence, you felt better about it, and you didn't even think. You could just float. It's like you become a part of a piece of equipment, whatever it is. I remember the first time I drove a Bobcat. I got on that Bobcat, and I had it going, doo-doo, 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 doo-doo. I mean, it was just, because I went that, and it went too far. I pulled back, and so I had it rocking like that. I mean, it was just like a bucking horse. I went, man, I'll never get this. And so my next time getting on, I wasn't confident because I kept telling myself, man, I don't know about driving something like that. I drive boats. I remember saying that. Put me in a boat. You know why I was confident in the boat? Because I was put in it over and over and over and over. And so it didn't matter. I didn't care what size it was. It didn't make a difference to me. Just give me a boat. Because you've done it over and over. Then I kept getting in the Bobcat and kept getting in it. Because I figured, you know, this is what I'm doing right now. I better get you. And then it became a part of me. It was just, I didn't even think. I can run that thing in the cool. I can spin it around, grab. I was just all over the dock with it. Didn't matter. And I would drive that thing, and the owner of the company, he wanted me in there. He said, you let Jesse in that thing. Man, he's all over it. So you got to constantly be watching because there's people all around. But there's just something about it. I was comfortable with it. And so you see, you become a part of it because you do it over and over and over again. It's the same thing with when you do the things in God. It's no different. If we are lacking in something, it's because we're not doing it enough. It's just we don't want to face that reality, but that's a fact. Listen, you know, it's like running a boat. You know, if you run them, I remember me and Brother Eddie, we went through some pretty scary times in a boat. I mean, but if you do it enough, you do it enough over and over and over and over again, you're confident. You know that. You've done seen these scenes over and over again. If you're running at night, it doesn't matter because you've been there so many times over and over. And it's a natural fact. And so your confidence levels increase. You're not afraid. You're not afraid at all. You're not saying, well, okay, I don't know which way I'm going to go. You're only going to feel that if you've never done it enough. It's not that you can't. You understand? It's not that you can't. The potential is there. It's all there. It's in all of us. There's a potential to do amazing things for God in every person that's here. Every single person that's here, there's amazing potential. But why is there fear? Because you've never done it enough. You got to keep doing it. And you got to be okay with failing. You got to be okay with the fact that you're going to mess up and you can look at your mistakes and make the adjustments necessary to correct yourself. Because if you're afraid to fail, most of the time, people won't try it. Because they're afraid of failure. If you can say, you know what, I'm probably going to get it wrong. I'm going to probably look like I don't know what I'm doing. And you know what the truth about that is? You're right. You don't know what you're doing. You think I knew what I was doing when I first jumped in that machine? I'd never been in one. I didn't know what to do with the right foot, the left foot. I didn't know none of that. And it had a chart right there. And I kept looking at the chart. But in my mind, I was reading it and I was doing the opposite of what I was actually seeing. Until I didn't even need the chart. You could take the chart and throw it away. I can't talk. How many types? You type on your iPad? Huh? When you first got it? I remember, I'm not good at it all, but it's because I don't do it enough. But I remember taking typing in school because they're like, okay, what else to do? I'm not taking home ec. You know, it's not doing that, so I'm going to do typing, right? I should have took home ec. That'll come out way better. So I get in there and, you know, and I'm doing like this. And then they teach you, you know, how you know. And I'm like, okay, I got this. I got that. And I'm watching my hands. And my mind, I'm watching. And then all of a sudden, the next day, they got it covered with the little coating. You know, they put the little cover on it. And you go, and I mean, just completely dysfunctional. And then she said, you just do the same thing. Well, I can't. I can't see them. But they're still there. That's what she said. Teacher said, they still there. Still, but in my mind, see, I was, and so what I kept telling myself, I can't. And I never did. And I failed at that because I kept saying, I can't. Yet I could come into base. And I remember the first time I ever had a lesson, the guy cut all the little, you remember those things you'd click and it make the letter and you cut it out in a little sticker. I forget what they call them. You could buy them. They used to sell them at the dollar stores and all. And they cut A, and I put A on the bass neck and B, C, and that's how I'd be looking like that, A. And they tell me which way, C. Boy, and I see the C over there. I see it. I'd go to C. Now, I didn't know where C was without that marker there. And then we did that for a while, and then all of a sudden, I come, and all the things are pulled off. So in my mind, I'm, okay, I don't see the C. I don't. And so you understand? It's a progress. It's a little bit. And before I knew it, I said, yeah, I remember I had to go over here for C. And so it just keeps, and then you know. And then before you know it, it's a part of you. That's how it is in the following the Spirit of God. The reason we are lacking is because there's not enough of it. Not enough. And the more we do that, the more we yield and let the Holy Spirit do what it wants to do in our life, it's absolutely incredible. So this claim in John 7:39 seems to contradict everything we discovered, and he speaks this thing. Now watch this. We'll just cover this as best we can, and then it gives you some stuff to study. The answers are found in the chapters of John that make up the Last Supper discourse. That's chapter 13 through chapter 17. We're not going to read all of those, but that's something for you to go home and read. Chapter 13 through chapter 17 is the Last Supper discourse. And there's some things that said there, but we'll look at some of the stuff in there. During this dinner conversation, our Lord explained the coming presence of the Parakletos, translated Paraclete, comforter, helper, or advocate. One translation also says counselor, the counselor. Okay? So we're going to understand this. And Jesus talks about this. Jesus outlines the following chain of events. This is what he says. Number one, the disciples demonstrate love for Jesus by keeping his commandments. To demonstrate our love for Jesus, where we say, I love you. We have a relationship where I am following Christ. He's the leader, my rabbi, my teacher. Think whatever he's teaching me, that's what I'm going to do. What is it called when somebody is being trained by somebody else? They become what? An apprentice, right? So you go through apprentice. So somebody else who's training you, at one time, they were probably in the same seat you're sitting in. And they were trained. So you go through apprenticeship. So they do it on boats. They do it. They call it different things, but you can get a job on a tugboat, for example. And they can be a captain. And you're going to be a deckhand, and you're going through so then you can be from the deckhand, you can be the mate, or whatever it is, first mate, and so on and so forth. And as you gain your time and you've been on there and you're familiar with it, you can apply for an application to go get your own captain's license. Let me understand that. Well, let me tell you something about that. You and I have to get out of the mindset that we're following Jesus in apprenticeship, and we can never obtain the status that he wants us to have. In our own mind, we always see ourselves as less than. Is that the way Jesus trains? No. He said greater things than this. What does he mean when he said than this? Meaning the things he was doing. You'll do. Wow. See? So don't you won't find Jesus suppressing people for progression. You'll not find the Holy Spirit saying, whoa, 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 don't try to step out and be a big shot because you're never going to be like me. You'll never find that happen in Scripture. He's always pushing you to be better or be everything that you can be. And that's important. It's important. I think it's encouraging to me because I'm going to tell you, God wants the best for us. Jesus' disciples demonstrate, he said, keeping his commandments. In John 14:15, I think I have that verse. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The second thing, Jesus asked the Father to send the Paraclete. Send the comforter, the advocate, the counselor, the helper. Send, that's what that word means. Send the parent. In John 14:16, John 15:26, and 16:7, all of those verses there, he was asked to send. In John 14:16, he said, "Well, ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." The paraclete, that word helper is paraclete. He will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. Now, how is he going to be with us forever? So what does the Spirit of God do? It's a representation. It's God's way to interact with us. It's the Spirit of God. And we dealt with this person issue. It's, you know, things are spoken of and personified in Scripture. Being personified in Scripture does not make it an independent person. Does that make sense? Wisdom is spoke of as she. Doesn't mean it's a woman. Do you understand that? It's personified. How many understand that terms of Scripture? It's the same thing here. He is personified, doesn't make it an independent person from the Father. I mean, does that make sense to everybody? And you need to take some time to look at this and embrace. Listen, every single day, every day, every day, every if you're a believer following Christ, if you don't have a set time every day to do some type of communicating and learning about who God is and this relationship with Holy Spirit and fostering this relationship with Christ, you're going to get eventually in trouble. That's just the way it is. It's going to catch up. You're going to give in to all sorts of things. And so that I can tell you, it has to be every day. The next thing here, next verse, John 15:26, is when the helper comes. When the help, the paraclete, that when it comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. Notice that. Now who's the sin? Who's talking here? We have Jesus speaking. He said, I'm going to send the paraclete. Isn't that amazing? He said, I'm going to send him from the Father, whom I will send to you from the Father. That is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify about me. That's why it has to be a day in, day out, constant communication with Holy Spirit so you and I can understand the things of the Father. This is very important. So he said, I will do that. And so we see in these things unfold. Next, I think we have another verse, 16:7. In John it says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Now that doesn't, that, let me tell you, that doesn't settle well a lot of times in people's heart when they get used to somebody being around, like Jesus. I mean, we're with him. We're traveling with him. We're watching him do miracles. He's feeding the masses. We're just enjoying his company. We're so glad to be named in his group. And then Jesus comes, it's to your advantage that I go away. My advantage? For me, I'm going to lose, but it's my advantage. See, that's hard for people to grab hold to. But we don't realize, or what wasn't being realized then, is that what was going to be sent, the paraclete, it was going to be able to produce in us a more sure relationship that could, and it can only come from that paraclete, that helper, that counselor, that advocate. Why? Because it's a direct spirit-to-spirit connection. It's like plugging in. Now, how many of you know when you go to the socket, there's power there. And then you got the machine, whatever it is, a vacuum cleaner, electric knife. You got it, and it works. You got power, and you got electric knife. But until those two come together, the use of either one from a profit standpoint is none. How many want the profit of being in a relationship through the Son? Well, you got to plug in. You got to get connected. How do you get connected? So that's why Jesus said, it's to your advantage. And that's difficult. You remember, he said, I'm going to go. Don't talk like that. You're not going nowhere. We want you to stay. It's to your advantage. And that's something, sometimes when you do these, and listen, again, this is for you to go home. Look at this stuff when you're doing your Bible studies. Very important. He says, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away. Notice that. Now here's that, what appears to be a contradiction. Because we see Holy Spirit from the very beginning of the Bible all the way through, right? We see the Spirit of God operating, prophecy, strength. We looked at all of those verses. He says, but if I don't go away, the Helper will not come. Notice that. Will not come. But this is not a contradiction. Remember, we're dealing with John 7. We're dealing with the fact that he says, if you believe as the Scripture says, out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, but it hadn't yet come. Because what he's talking about is when the Paraclete, which is the same as the Spirit that we've been talking about from the very beginning, the Spirit of God, its action now has a clear conduit, a direct connection, because we have one thing in the middle of that connection called the S-O-N, the Son. Isn't that incredible? Because you don't, listen, you can't get the help from the Spirit of God that you need to live out this life called the Christian life. It's absolutely nonsense to think you can do that without there first being the price paid. That's why he said that. So there's no contradiction. And other people going through, well, you know, at our church, you can find anything you want. You can pick up a Bible and you can find anything you want to upset the crowd. You really can. But if we just let the verses stay where they are, that's no contradiction there. It's a simple thing. Very simple. Listen, I didn't want to get plugged into the electric until I realized what happens in my life when I accept the Son. Though your sins be as scarlet, is this helping anybody? You see, he puts it, it's a change in your life. And so that's why he spoke the way that he spoke. But I tell you the truth, and that's why he's unfolding these principles for us. And I tell you, this is going right along with what we're talking about, again, the words of Jesus. And it seems like, but you notice, and we'll cover all these again, I'm sure of it, when we on Sunday, when we're looking at this. So if I tell you the truth, it is for your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, here again, Jesus is speaking as he's the sender of the Holy Spirit. And then we have another time where the Father's the sender of the Holy Spirit. And we'll show you what he's talking about there. Again, we probably won't finish. We've got a few more minutes. Number three. He sends it in Jesus' name to abide in the believers forever. He sends it in Jesus' name to abide in believers forever. John 14:16. We looked at that earlier. We'll look at it again. I will ask the Father. This is Jesus speaking. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Another helper. That's a paraclete right there. He'll give you the paraclete, that he may be with you forever. Forever. So, Holy Spirit, this encounter that he's talking about. Remember, because he said right before he left, and this, I think, we'll do this next Thursday. Next Thursday, we get on this subject. He says, go to Jerusalem and tarry there till you be endued with power from on high. That's the power, and it's a sign. There had to be a sign for that paraclete for them to know and understand. Remember John's sign? What was John's sign? He said, when you see Holy Spirit descend on the dove and remain, that's the one. So John, what did John say? I saw that. He said it was on him right there, that guy. So see, he saw that. Well, how many of you know there was also a sign on believers? You see? There's no difference. See, people think, well, it's not a big difference. There's no difference. We're trying to make things out of something that's done. There is a sign, a sure sign, that you know something just happened. Something just went into a different mode. So again, look at this next verse, 14:26. But the helper, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Now, what's the sense in sending the paraclete to help in a relationship that's non-existing? It doesn't make sense. Now, could God give his Spirit on those in the Old Testament because he's God? Of course he could. But it was very far in between those who had that encounter. But when Christ comes, I mean, understand the difference. We're not talking about a few in between. We're talking about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We're talking about a world salvation that's going out to the masses, to all humanity. So we got to have paraclete to be on the scene so those encounters could be fostered. Does that make sense? This is important. That's why the enemy says, well, what I need to do is I need to get in a couple churches here and let them teach against paraclete. If I do that, I can mess them all up. Well, he didn't just get in a couple. He got in thousands. Literally thousands upon thousands of churches will not once agree with paraclete. That's bad business. I mean, understand that. So you say, well, can I have a relationship? Well, you can, but it's limited. And it's limited, and I don't know what's going to happen when all the stuff starts going wrong. When the world starts crashing in, then what's going to happen? You got to be, now's the time to start doing everything you can to foster that type of that relationship with Holy Spirit so you understand how to be led by the Spirit. You got to understand that. It's very important. And so folks can get along. You can get along for a while. But when you're not led by Spirit, the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, when things go bad and you got to start, listen, when you got to think it through, that could be dangerous for you. But when you're led by the Spirit, you don't have to think it through. It's instant. It's instant. Instant. You go, what, did I just do that? Was that me? No, it wasn't you. That was the Spirit of the Lord. How many thank God for his power? It's awesome. And listen, that's why Jesus said, and when he does, it's going to be in my name. Listen, if you listen to the words of Jesus, why did he just say that? Because he knew it wouldn't be long. They would start having these conversations about, is it really from Jesus? Is this a Jesus thing? You know, because this is what folks would say, that's not God. You see? But how did he say? He said, going to send it in my name. Isn't that something? So these are, again, some important areas. And we can't do it all tonight, right? We got to just brush up on and we'll go from there. It give you some time to write this stuff down. You can go home and look at it for yourself. The paraclete is the Spirit of truth, John 14:17, which will teach the disciples all things and bring to their remembrance all that Jesus had said. I think that's something important. Now, we're dealing with the words of Jesus on Sunday. That's what we've been doing in chronological order. And how many think what I just read to you, this comment, is very important, very valuable. I'm going to say it again because it's important. The paraclete is the Spirit of truth. John 14:17, which will teach the disciples all things and bring to their remembrance, watch this, all that Jesus had said. Let me tell you where I believe the most of the problems, almost all the problems in the world today is because we have left from the things that Jesus said. And the reason we leave from the things Jesus said, we're not led by the Spirit. Because if we're led by the Spirit, what is it going to bring us to remembrance? The things that Jesus said. This is simple stuff. I can sit down with our school grade kids and tell them this, and they'll go home and tell their mom and dad, say, you know, it's what Jesus said. This is not deep theology. This is simple, simple stuff. The Bible is very clear on this. We got to understand that this is something that is of great value to the church. It's great value to our relationship, and we understand it because John 14, 17, which will teach the disciples all things, bring to their remembrance all that Jesus had said, 14, 26. How many believe that's important? And that's one of the reasons we're doing what we're doing right now, looking at that. Testify about Jesus, 15, 26. Be more advantageous to the saints than the presence of Christ on earth, 16, 7. Convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. We need that one, right? 16, 11, 8 through 11. How many believe that the world needs conviction concerning sin? You ever watch the news? I mean, according to the news, 50 years ago, you wouldn't even hear some of the stuff you hear on news and talk radio and songs in the music industry. You just wouldn't have heard of it. There was nobody talking like that, because there's no more conviction of sin. At some point, there was conviction of sin. You know, if something happened and somebody was caught, they would try to cover it up or hide it. But now it's just broadcast. It's paraded around. It's just open. Anything goes. It doesn't make a difference. And so how do we get that conviction of sin? By Holy Spirit. That you're not going to get it any other way. Because why is that? Because when this is what happens when it's outside of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what happens. You're standing as we are, as human beings, next to human beings, measuring ourselves by each other. Guess what? Guess what we get? Nothing. The end of that is death. But when Holy Spirit's there, we're measured by. How many get that? We're measured by a different scale. And we go, man, I need to go pray. I need to go read my Bible. I need to go to church. I need to be in the presence of God. I need to be with the saints. I need to give them corporate praise. You see what happens? But if you measure yourself by the guy down the road that's not doing really good, you say, I'm better. I don't need nothing. I'm good. You ever talk to people? I talk to some people. I'm good. Good. You ever? How you can be good when you lost? You dying. And you're going to spend eternity apart from God. That don't seem like to be good to me. But that's what people equate. They add it up in their mind. But when you measure yourself by Holy Spirit and the things of God, you're never going to feel that away. Nobody's going to have to push you, cheerlead you, get you all pumped up and excited to be on fire for God. Because you go, okay, I need to pray. It's automatic. It's a gimme. I got to seek God. It's something on the inside of you. And what happens? The more you do it, what's going to happen? Holy Spirit is going to give. And the hunger is going to start. And the thirst. And you're just going to want more and more and more. Because let me tell you, when you first do it, you're a little shaky. You're not so sure. I don't know. I don't know about that. But the more you get, how many know you'll get where it's a flow?
That's it.
It'll flow.
That's it.
It'll flow. How many? I can remember the first time I spoke. I wasn't very good at it. I had a 4-hour message planned. It took me 10 minutes. I cotton mouth. It was sticking. You know, I think the last 10 words, I had to open my mouth up, put my hands. It was all stuck. But then, how many of you know that changed? Huh? <You're> more. Can anybody tell? See, and what happens, you just go. And you keep doing it. You keep doing it. You trust the Holy Spirit. And you get up, and sometimes, I remember I used to handwrite all my notes. I'd handwrite every single thing I'm going to say. And I'd look at it, and then I'd lose my spot, and okay, I don't know where I'm at, okay. Well, I wrote it, so I can't even understand my own writing, so I'm in trouble. You know, like, oh, man. So then I started typing. I type it so it was nice and neat, and I put little markers. And then I was getting a lot better. You know, see? And then. And I was trusting God, but trusting, I wanted to have notes. You know, I was like, God, I'm keeping notes. But I was having to learn to trust Holy Spirit, you see. Let Holy Spirit minister to you. Let it flow. Let the words, why don't you trust Him? And then that's what you do. right? So you take some, you might see me, most of my slides is going to be scripture. But then what are you going to say? You ever wondered that when you had to speak? Huh? Brother Josh, what am I going to say? And you got all this stuff you're thinking about, and you get up there, and your thinker quit. Anybody ever have your thinker quit? Just shuts down. You go, okay. So what is he trying to teach you? You think he's just trying to put you out on the spotlight so you can be laughed at? No, he's trying to teach you trust Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
In the self-same hour, I'll give you the words to say. It might not be a whole lot. Sometimes we think, well, I got to say all the stuff passes. You don't have to say what just do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. You might say five things. That's okay. Because them five things is going to hit somebody. It's going to sink deep inside of them, and they're going to go home, and they're going to grab that word. It's going to become real to them. It just might be a few things, and that's important. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. You got to understand, I've been doing this for almost 30 years. So, and that seems like, when I say that third, I'm like, man, I must have been a child when I started. But think about it. And I still, to this day, even tonight, I was like, God, what am I gonna say about these things? What words, you know, and I try to think it through, but most of the time I'm just, everything I might have thought it through to be, God has a different plan. And I got to trust him. I got to trust him that he knows who's, you know, I always tell him, I said, Lord, you know every person going to be there. If it's one, if it's five, it's 100, it doesn't make a difference how many it is, but you know them. And let something be said. Let it be said that way it'll sink deep in their hearts and it'll give them encouragement to continue to do what God wants you to do, and no matter what you're faced with. It convicts the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Guides them into all truth by speaking only what he hears. What he hears, and that's John 16:13, and discloses Christ to the disciples, of course. You can read that in 16:14-15. The helper, the paraclete, will come. He will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. Forever. So if somebody said, well, that's not for today. Well, what day is it for? What part of forever you don't know? That's so easy to me. I mean, if I tell little kids it's going to be forever, they're not going to say, well, when it's over. But you got whole organizations saying that's not for today. I mean, see how silly that is. That's just the devil and how he works in people's minds. And before you know it, you got thousands upon thousands of people who are not being led by the Spirit because they don't believe it's for today. My question is, what are you led by? And that's something that we have to take into consideration. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. 14:26. When the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. From the Father. That's 15:26. Remember, the whole title for tonight was Holy Spirit in John. In John's gospel. Looking at John, and this is all, so all these, I don't have John in front of it, but since you know the title, all these are John. If I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. 16:7. He will guide. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. That's so comforting to me. It really is. Because as much as I think I know, and I want to believe that I'm confident in myself, I can't let a day go by that I can't be. I got to be led by the Spirit every single day. I want to put my faith and trust in him, and I don't want to say, well, I got this. Because let me tell you, the more when you think you got it, that's when it's going to come. The failure is headed your way. And it's not to hurt you. It's just to get you back. You know, sometimes we just need to be popped on the head just to figure out, okay, you don't have it. And I'm glad. Listen, I thank God for every time I got popped on the head. I'm not mad at God. I'm not upset with him. I thank him because he could have let me keep going in my own way. And I'd be lost and undone. But he said, And that's because he loves me too much. He won't let me go down those roads. And that's what we ought to be doing, the same thing. We ought to be extending that stuff to other people and letting them minister their lives. Here's what most people call some type of contradiction. And this is next one, and I'll take an extra couple minutes here, and then I'll stop. Jesus will come. How many see that? Jesus will come. I will come again and receive you to myself. That's in 14:3. So he says, I will come. I will come to you, 14:18. You will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Remember I said earlier, is Jesus literally in your heart? Well, no, he's at the right hand of the Father, literally. So how is he in my heart? Because he's here. He's with me by Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? It's so good. Now, what about the Father? Is he literally, when you say, well, you know, I feel God right now. Is he literally? Well, no, you disintegrate. Right? You would. We'd all, the whole thing, the planet would just. When you're talking about the Most High, when he, boom, this gone, it's over with. So he's got to ease in. This is what God's doing right now. The whole time. You think you can stop God? You think ISIS can stop God? You think Obamacare can stop God? You think all this craziness in the world? He's steady doing this. He's inching his way closer. Now, while he's getting closer, what did he do to help the saints? He came 100% in full capacity by Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? But there is a difference. There is a difference between Holy Spirit and the Most High God when he, help me understand that. Even Jesus, when he returns, there's a difference. The Bible says that his glory is going to destroy the Antichrist. Now, how many believe we got real born-again believers, faithful people in the world today? How many believe that we got spirit-filled, love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, mind? We have that in the world today. We're not destroying the Antichrist because there's a difference between the Most High God, his Son, and Holy Spirit. And you got to embrace all of it. You got to understand every aspect of each one. It's so important. And it's all there. It's not so this is why I said, Jesus said, I will come. He who loves me, I will love him and will disclose myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. So people say, well, how do you? This is what he said it. That's because he said it. I embrace all of what he said. It encourages me every day. You know, I might be going down the bayou by myself. Like this morning, I was by myself at night. By myself. Everybody's out and it's dark. And I'm just put real slow. I'm going real slow right along the grass. Wind's blowing. And by myself, I started thinking about the Lord. It's like, I'm by myself from a person standpoint. Because those people are in the duck blind, and I'm in this boat. But I'm never alone. Now, you got, and that's why you have to embrace Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, you got to grab hold to that. Because without that, I'm going to tell you, the devil will beat you down to think, well, he's up there, so far away, untouchable, the Most High God. Who can know God? And his Son, well, you know, he done went away too. That's why Jesus said, but listen, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. The paraclete will come. Do you understand? That's why it's so important. So I go away and I will come to you. I go away and I will come to you. Well, that sounds crazy. I go away and I will come. 14:28. Read it. I go away and I come to you. Notice that. A little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. 16:17. So keep these things in mind. So when Holy Spirit shows up in Acts 2, and that we'll do that next Thursday, you know how much. For the life of me, for a long time, I was trying to figure Peter out. You know, Peter's just all over the place. I mean, he had mood swings, and he's all over the place. He's dying for him, and then running. You know, I mean, he's all over this guy. But then something happens when the paraclete comes. And I just sometimes try to think what leaped on the inside of him to say what he said. It was just absolutely incredible. And he understood, because now, you know, this is what, think about it. And you don't want to beat up him, don't beat him up too bad, because if anybody's been to Peter, I have. I mean, I only need one of us in here tonight, so you might go, I don't have to be Peter. I'm glad I'm not Peter. Pastor be Peter. I'll take it, because I'm going to be honest, right? But you have to understand his position. The man he trusted in everything was being carted off and beaten and paraded around as some common thief and a murderer. And he didn't do anything. And he felt hopeless. He felt, we done. We had this little short run. We thought everything was going to be fine, and we're finished. We're finished. And then he watches this whole scene, and he goes, this is just unbelievable. And then he started getting better, because one day he showed up at the tomb, and he's gone. Well, he said that, but it's still, I feel that hopelessness. Then he saw him, and he jumps in the water. And he's just, you know, he's all over the place. You have to understand, Peter is all low. This guy is like, choo-choo. And then he shows up in the upper room. And the first day, he's probably pumped up. Second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day. And he's starting to think, I don't know. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, because I got a track record. He's up and down. I think he was up when he first got there. That's what brought him there. Then he got down. But then his up come, and it stayed up.
Hallelujah.
You know why? Paraclete. Because
yes.
For the first time in that many days, 50 days, think about this. He felt like Jesus was standing next to him. That's what Holy Spirit does for you. Somebody say, I want to have an experience with Jesus. You're never going to do it, not right now, outside of the paraclete. Do you understand that? That's why he told Nicodemus, you have to be born of water and spirit. Is this helping anybody? I'll tell you what, it's helped me. I was, you know, this is part of what I was, this was my Thursday Thanksgiving one that we missed. So I've been sitting on this for a while. I'm so glad I got to get it out tonight. So let Holy Spirit minister to you throughout the day. Be led. Watch your words. It's not easy. Does it mean you got to give up everything to everybody? No, you can stay within the parameters of what you know the Word of God is. And you can say things in authority and boldness. Yet, you got to know when to calm it down. And you got to know how far to go. How do you know all that? By Holy Spirit. There's a lot. You have to show progression, but you got to know when to stop. You got to know when to quit. And you're not going to know that, especially because some people, when they get on a roll, they hit their lane and they don't know when to quit. Holy Spirit tells you, stop, and that's it. And you'll start listening. The moment you know when you don't listen, because you'll put your foot in your mouth. And after you kick yourself in the face a few times, you'll find out that's not fun. So I'm telling you, I've done all these things. So there's times you just stop. Okay, I'm not going to say anything. And then you figure it out, and it just gets smooth and smooth, and it's just something about it. So I pray that you're enjoying this. Again, Sunday morning, our study is the words of Jesus, and we'll continue in that. We're on the Beatitudes. And I tell you what, this next one we're going to be on is incredible. So you come believing, expecting God to do great things. So I appreciate you for being at our Bible study tonight. God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you on Sunday. Be blessed.